Words are so incredibly important. Think about it for a moment. All we have, although communication by nonverbal means does communicate, but really all we have to communicate in this world are words. And words can build up or tear down. Words can heal or destroy. Words can bring happiness or sadness. And you know how at times, like me, you have used words wrongly and hurt another. But so too, you know how you have used words wisely and blessed another. Today, we reflect on some of the words that Jesus said on the cross at the end of his 3-year ministry. Remember, he only was among us for 33 years, give or take, and 3 years of ministry, give or take, and we have a record of many of his words, certainly not all, and the scriptural record are the words of his teachings and his priorities. And then, final words. He's arrested. He is tried by a kangaroo court. He is convicted of something he never did because they wanted to get rid of him. And then, by Roman law, he is executed by crucifixion. In the course of that, he spoke some words. But then on the cross, he spoke his final words. We begin looking at those final words. I hope you will make an effort to be among us in these next 6 weeks to reflect on all of the words, the seven phrases he said from the cross. Crucifixion was one of the most cruel ways to kill a person. I've read, and I invite you to consider reading some descriptions of crucifixion that you can find online, because we need to remember that the way that Rome got rid of its people was in a horrific form of execution. The prisoner would first be flogged, whipped. The whip would have small metal balls tied at the end of leather thongs, along with small portions of sheep bones that would cut the skin. And the prisoner, yes, Jesus, would have been flogged for moments, minutes, maybe as an hour. And the purpose of this is to bring the prisoner to near death, shock, blood loss, exhaustion would all overcome a person being flogged. Jesus was flogged that way. Then, in the customary way, for Rome crucified hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all the time, they made the prisoner carry the crossbar, this heavy crossbar across his shoulders, in this state of shock and near death. Carry the crossbar to the place of execution, not far away. It's no wonder he couldn't do it, like many others probably couldn't. And so when he fell, they pulled someone from the crowd. His name was Simon. Made him, because Simon had no choice unless he wanted to go on a tree. So Simon carried the crossbar the rest of the way. And then at the site, long spikes would have been driven into Jesus' wrists as he was nailed to that crossbar. And then, as he was placed up into the T position, his feet would have been nailed through the top of the ankle to the tree, to the post, and there left to die. The dying process took hours, sometimes days. It was a horrific way of dying. People couldn't breathe because all their weight was hanging down. And so often they died of asphyxiation. So speaking at all from the cross would have been terribly painful. And yet Jesus speaks. Because, you see, his entire life on this earth is meant to communicate the ways, will, and purposes of God. And even dying, he did so. And the first thing he says, the first thing, probably having to pull himself up with the tortuous pain of the stakes in his wrists, pushing himself up to get air in his lungs so he could speak at all, he says, "Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Not surprisingly, it's a prayer. Jesus, once again, as so often he had done, goes to his heavenly Father in prayer. Not for himself, but for others. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who's he praying for? At his feet. Right at his feet, but a little ways away, are Roman soldiers who have done this thing to him. It's their job. And that's all it is. And they're gambling, as was the custom, for his clothes, because everything was of value. And so there they are with dice at the foot of the cross, laughing, ignoring the death and the suffering, just having done their job of killing another person that somebody told them to kill. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." But then too, he was also referring to the Romans who had ordered this execution, to the powers that be who wanted to get rid of him so badly that they trumped up charges, and there he was on the cross for no reason except they wanted to be rid of him. And Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them." The Jewish leaders of the time cooperated, conspired with the Romans to get to this point, for they too wanted to be rid of this troublemaker, this strange prophet teacher who was going against the Old Testament law. No, let's be rid of him. Finally, they found a way. Was Jesus not praying for them? Forgive them? For what they have done, their part in this. But then we remember that God is not limited by time or space. That the eternal Father sees in ways we do not, and across time speaks to us as well. Because even to this day, by our own actions and inactions, by our own missing the mark, by our own wandering off the path, by our own sin, we do our part too in crucifying Christ, do we not? And in so doing, do we not participate in nailing those nails? I sometimes wonder how God must feel. He's given us all of this. Oh. And in this part of the world, we are blessed with so much more than the average person in the world. Blessings of things and stuff and security, good health, blessings of family and friends, all that we have. And I sometimes wonder if God doesn't look at us with all that we have and just shake his head in sadness that we continue to miss the point. We continue to help crucify Christ. Oh, how do we do it? Well, probably you would say, "I didn't hit the nail into his wrist." But in our time, this God who sees across all time sees faithful Christians failing to love each other, sees people who say we love Jesus failing to follow him, failing to give. Oh, a little, but that's about it. Failing to make Jesus a priority. Don't we participate also in our sin in this crucifixion? I think God is sad at seeing that, but at the same time, when Jesus says, forgive them, that forgiveness is for us. Adam Hamilton, in his book that we're studying throughout these few weeks, writes about how even though God knows all that we do in our failures, in our sin, in our messing up, he still forgives us. And that's kind of amazing. And that's what we call it. Amazing grace. You see, the whole essence of the gospel message, centering on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is to convey to you and to me the grace and mercy of God. The word grace means God's unconditional love, unconditional for the undeserving. Oh, yes, that's me. And that's you. God's unconditional love for the undeserving. And that's what Jesus was giving in those words. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. We receive grace through that word of forgiveness. Never let us forget that that is what God does, nor let us forget what we do, and that is we struggle to live lives that are worthy of that grace. The story is told of a man who owned some property in Akron, Ohio. One day, his name was Chuck. He went to his property because an unregistered vehicle was there. So he called the police. He was going to have it towed away. When all of a sudden, the owner of this vehicle shows up in a rage. And getting out of control, this man hits Chuck, pushes his head against a brick wall. The end result was a major brain injury that to this day continues to limit this man, who is a doctor. Charges were filed. A trial was held. But during the trial, Chuck and his wife took the position on the defense side of the room, wanting to get help for this man who had harmed him, wanting to give him treatment, wanting with the defense to advocate for a lesser sentence, because Chuck said, I forgave him. And I want only what is good for him. I wonder how we would be, but I know how God is. With all of our failures, God is at our defense on the cross. And God says to you today, for whatever you have done, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You are forgiven.